The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now, as we reported earlier, the attempt by the Republican Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene to oust the Republican Speaker Mike Johnson from the House, it failed with the help of the Democrats. What was that all about? Well, Terry Sheridan, Managing Editor of WSHU Public Radio, joins me now. Terry, good morning.
And good morning to you, Pat.
Now, interesting, although Donald Trump is a fan, he posted on Truth Social, "This is not the time to do this, but you're a great woman, Marjorie. We love you. You're wonderful." But he would be, relatively speaking, one of her few fans in the House.
Absolutely. And she is a steadfast Donald Trump supporter. She is full MAGA. She ran both of her congressional campaigns on being a loyal Trump supporter. But I think at this point, Donald Trump, as he's looking towards November and the election, does not want to see dysfunction in the House the way that we saw earlier when Kevin McCarthy was removed. And the House basically, for all practical purposes, shut down for those many weeks.
I don't understand her. Do you understand what motivates her? I mean, she does just seem to like trouble.
She likes trouble. She likes being in the forefront. Yes, she is a publicity hog. She represents a very hard right part of even the hard right MAGA movement. Her and about a handful of other Republican congresspeople, basically are full in for Donald Trump. And quite honestly, and they've said this themselves, it's not something I'm just saying now, is that they want to disrupt what they view as the deep state. And they view the way Congress is set up right now, they view that as the deep state.
I was greatly taken watching CNN Live last evening when they went to the impromptu press conference held by some Republicans on the steps of Capitol Hill. Even while Marjorie Taylor Greene was speaking inside in the chamber, they were outside dissing her. And what struck me about them is that they were all sort of, well, relatively young. And I'm wondering, is this the beginning of, you know, a resurgence of normal Republicanism?
That I don't know. That's an interesting point that you bring up. I don't know if we'll ever go back to normal Republicanism, and I'm using air quotes here, because of the effect that Donald Trump has had on the party. However, I do feel that Republicans in general, those who are not under the sway, or those who know that at some point they have to go back to their constituents and show what they have done instead of what they have blocked, I think that is a big part of it.
Now, in the meantime, although the focus was on the chamber briefly last evening, most of the focus today will go to the courtroom in New York City, where the defense of Donald Trump will attempt to dismantle Stormy Daniels.
That's right. Stormy Daniels is back on the stand for the second day. She was on Tuesday, and some of her testimony was very, I don't want to say explosive, nor do I want to say it bordered. The judge actually warned her to leave out some of the details that she was going into about her tryst with Donald Trump. The defense now is basically trying to portray her, one, as a liar, two, because she signed a document saying that they never had an affair, and two, that she's just after this all for the money, for the $130,000. So they're looking at her, and they're just trying to do everything that they can to, you know, impugn her integrity, mm-hmm. which she herself, in her testimony on Tuesday, left many, many openings for the defense to probe.
Now, one of the elements that, according to all the reportage yesterday, that has irked Trump and his defense team is the suggestion that there might have been some coercion in that sexual encounter. Now, she herself did not maintain that quite. She did not say she was raped or anything like it. She did claim to have been blacked out at some point and so on. But it seems like they don't want to leave that element of even a suggestion of coercion on the record.
Absolutely, because again, that would be devastating no matter what the outcome of this case is, just having that on the record, especially after he was found to be an adjudicated sexual offender, not a convicted, but adjudicated in the civil case. They want to get rid of that. Now, Stormy Daniels has said that, you know, she found herself in a situation that she did not want to go into. She never said no, but she never gave consent, and they want to clarify that no, you never said no, and you got into the bed. So that's the big thing that the defense wants to push back on, because again, Donald Trump and his defense team were more afraid of what Stormy Daniels would say about the encounter, more so than about the charges that he's actually facing. That's why Tuesday's testimony was explosive, because she went into great detail about that encounter, which was embarrassing to the president. This is something they want to get rid of off the record, so it is not fodder for the Democrats come November.
It would appear, though, that Donald Trump is beyond embarrassment.
That is very true. But again, you're now talking about an election, and you're talking about an election that is still statistically in a dead heat, in which, again, he has to appeal to I don't want to say he has to appeal to women in a way that sounds like, you know, he's pandering to them. But no, this is something that if it is on the record and it comes out of the story, in air quotes again, you know, will turn off many voters, especially suburban women.
There's a thing going around on the internet. The guy who cheated on wife number one with number two, who got pregnant while he was still married to wife number one, then cheated on two with number three, and then cheated on three with a porn actress and a Playboy model, and bragged about committing sexual assault, has the complete and unwavering support of the conservative evangelicals and the Party of Family Values. You couldn't make
Absolutely.
It. You couldn't make
no,
it
you
up.
Couldn't. And they look at, well, again, and the certain evangelicals look at him as what they call the imperfect vessel, that yes, he is doing God's work, but he is not perfect, and they're willing to overlook that.
The imperfect vessel. That's a new term, which I shall remember. Now, moving down the dynasty, 18-year-old Barron Trump, the youngest son of Donald Trump, has been chosen to serve as a Florida delegate to the Republican National Convention, no less.
Yeah, well, that's, again, the Trumps, they are Florida residents. That is something that he can do. He is old enough. If he's 18 years old, he's old enough to vote. He is old enough to be a member of the party, and he's old enough to be chosen as that. That's really nothing out of the ordinary. I mean, you can look at the Kennedys, you can look at the Carters, you know, for instance, and they served as delegates to the conventions.
Mm. Speaking of the Kennedys, we see that third candidate, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., he has revealed that a worm ate part of his brain.
Yeah, that is pretty, again, it sounds, you know, a bit weird, but no, it's a parasite. It does turn up in people. You know, they're more than worms. You know, there are other organisms that can go in, single-celled organisms. And it all depends on the damage, about what it does and how it ends up, you know, in the brain. Tapeworms are usually the most common. But again, it just adds another layer of mystery to Robert F. Kennedy
yeah,
Jr.
He has various reported physical ailments over the years, most of which he says he has overcome. But this thing about the worm in his brain was the claim was made during a deposition during his 2012 divorce case.
Right. Again, and that divorce case was extremely messy, as you might remember. In fact, his ex-wife, you know, has committed suicide, you know, after that. So Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is an interesting fellow, and I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. And now back to another interesting person. That's Judge Cannon, who's indefinitely postponed President Donald Trump's classified documents trial in Florida. There are calls for her to recuse herself in the case, and if not, if she won't do it, they might do it for her using various mechanisms.
That's right. The prosecution, led by Jack Smith, he's prosecuting the two federal cases, one in Judge Cannon's court in Florida, one in Washington, D.C. What Judge Cannon has done is basically postponed the trial indefinitely and then postponed various hearings leading up to the trial. So it appears very unlikely that this trial of Donald Trump would happen before the election. In some earlier rulings, the prosecution has warned Judge Cannon that they would take the step to ask for her removal if she continues to rule on some of her rulings. Legal experts are divided. They say either she is trying to tip the scale for Donald Trump and his defense, or she just cannot handle the enormity of the trial. She has very little, if any, actual trial experience. She was appointed by Donald Trump in November of 2020 after he lost the election. So, and a couple of her rulings have already been overturned in a very negative way by higher courts.
Finally, I should ask you about reaction, although it is early yet in the United States, to the interview that Joe Biden gave to CNN and talking about Israel and depriving them of armaments if they go into Rafah. What kind of political, if not popular, reaction has there been?
It's been split. I mean, again, in the United States right now, the Palestinian cause is picking up. I don't want to say picking up speed, but, you know, is something worrisome. You know, we've seen the protests on college campuses. Democrats particularly are very much, you know, worried about what's happening in Gaza, particularly what's going to happen or what might happen in Rafah. So that's getting a positive thing. But also, again, Joe Biden right now is in danger of losing young voters. Those were the voters who overwhelmingly voted for him in 2020. If they don't show up at the polls, he's not going to win the election in 2024.
It's not that they will vote for Trump, but they just simply won't.
They just won't show up.
All right. On that note, Terry Sheridan, Managing Editor of WSHU Public Radio, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.